It's good to have that group or community of practice where you can go and talk about particular topics, doesn't matter which channel, and just exchange what you want to do, things you want to try, and just get feedback on what you're making.
Welcome to the 7-Minute Product Master Series podcast. I'm Luis Kangede, and today I'm joined by Vanessa, Senior Lecturer in Interaction Design at the University of Southampton in UK. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you for having me.
To start the show, give me a brief definition of design research.
Yes, design research is basically a range of processes that designers use to better understand challenges related to aspects like user experience, unpack and understand their needs, and most of the times align and cross-reference with product goals. Sometimes it can be referred to user research. However, it goes really beyond that because it is a process, right? So it's a process that allows designers to reflect about their own practice as well. So when you're doing things, you are reflecting about it. It perhaps comes even before user research itself. So it's about improving design processes through research. So when you're making or designing something, even if you don't have yet an idea of what's going to be the users or who you're designing for, and maybe you're just analyzing the actual process in a holistic way, because user research is very focused, so the design research will be around the methods. So you get a better understanding, an overview of the process.
And I'm curious to know, what's the biggest design research mistake you've ever made, and what did you learn?
I think choosing potentially wrong or maybe not the most appropriate method for the particular research. And because sometimes you have so many methods that you can use and you might overcomplicate things. So I think the best is to stick with the design question, with the problem statement and that definition. If it is too complex, then you need to go back to the question and revise that question.
Thanks for sharing that. What's the one piece of common wisdom you disagree with and why?
It depends on the product you are developing. So we normally say you start with the user needs, but maybe there are not immediate needs. It really depends on what you're actually making. So if you're developing something new, and how do you know it satisfies a need if that need actually is not there? User-centric approach, just that particular one, that might not be enough. And we also need to think about including the environment, let's say, as well in the process. As I said, it is a system, so everything you're designing would have an impact, not just in the user, but in the environment and other people, not just that particular person. Everyone might be familiar with Don Norman, but he has a new book, Design for a Better World, focusing on about being human. So it's about humanity and sustainability, moving beyond just the user-centric and going more towards humans, environment, and we'll go more towards a holistic approach.
Next question, what's the best design research advice you ever received and why?
I'm not sure if someone said this, but sometimes things would happen organically. And even if you plan, sometimes you want to let people get into a task or activity, and you might not have an agenda for that. Because again, you choose a particular method, you might think, okay, this is the agenda for this. So you have a focus group or you have a workshop. And obviously, when you design those things, you might want to convince a manager or someone, this is what we're going to do. This is why you're putting your resources. But maybe sometimes things, particularly in the discovery phase, will be more organic. So I think you just try to look at a more detached approach, in the way that, particularly if you're trying something new, you need to really adapt in the making, right? Maybe I don't have to be too strict here in this particular agenda. I might just let people do whatever they need to do in this particular task, or maybe this task is not going to work. So I think even if you plan everything, things might not go according to plan, and it's okay.
And what's working best in your design research process right now?
Getting feedback on your own process at all times and reflecting about it and talk to other people and your teammates. It can be quite organic in the way that you really want to exchange what you're trying to do. So I think just one-to-ones with people from your team. But it's good to have that group or community of practice where you can go and talk about particular topics, doesn't matter which channel, and just exchange what you want to do, things you want to try, and just get feedback on what you're making. Also, reflect on what you've done. So if it is a project, you go back to the project and say, okay, this worked, that didn't work, and again, improve on what you're doing, instead of having, oh, this is a recipe and I'm going to follow this. I think it's better reflecting and just saying, okay, that really worked this time, and that didn't work, so that what is working.
What's the one thing every design researcher should learn?
That everyone can design, and in different ways, but it should really make people participate participate in the process. Okay, we're talking about environment and everything else, but I think you should really learn how to include people in the process. There is an ongoing conversation around design literacy. I think it was 2018 in the book called Designerly Ways of Knowing. So basically, people would have different types of knowledge, and we need to account for that as well. So just don't alienate people from the process. I think I would include them, particularly if they are going to be using a particular tool or product that you're making. They have a lot of knowledge about their own processes in their companies or whatever the place they work. And I know that's part of the user research in a way, but I think we need to include them on the making as well. So some participatory design, co-design could be great.
Thanks for sharing that. On to the last question. What's the one thing you learned about yourself recently that changed the way you work?
I've been already doing some of this, so that's the part of that's been working. So stopping, allowing time to reflect, self-reflection. So think about a reflective practice, because at times it might be very difficult to make choices if you're very busy and you have a hectic schedule. So it's okay to stop, to pause and reflect, and eventually then you go and ask for help, discuss the ideas and go back to it with fresh eyes. Because as I said, there is room for creativity there. So if you want to bring or create a new methods, you can. But if we're super busy and obviously you have deadlines, allow time for creativity. So I think with that self-reflection, it definitely allowed me to think about, okay, why don't we try this different approach? Why don't we try this, maybe a game or something? So try to simplify things, and you can't do everything alone. So asking for help and advice is always a good thing to do. So have that community of practice around you.
Thanks, Vanessa, for joining us today and sharing all those insights with our audience.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next time.